We start again after a pause. Mrs. Mariotto Cox, do you remember you were telling me before about there were two ships going when your father went to Liverpool?
Yes.
Why did he go? Can you explain that?
Well, we were told, he told us that at the time, apparently there were two ships. One was supposed to have gold on the ship, which going to Canada, and the other ship was going to have the internees and the prisoners. And at the last minute, apparently, they switched over and they put the men on the ship that should have had the gold and the gold on the ship that should have had the men. And I'm not sure if this is absolutely true, because this is just what he was told and he told us. And apparently the Germans knew of the ships going, so they torpedoed the ship that they thought the gold was on. So it was a mistake, really, because they wouldn't have killed their own men, would they? And so this is, and I believe this was in the newspapers after the war. They can't print things until so many years after the war, and I remember reading about it, so that's something you would have to really check up on to verify. We can only know what he told us, you see.
Mm-hmm. And now let's go back to your life in London then. When you see, what were you feeling when you saw your father taken away?
I was almost 12, you know, so to me it was, you just don't understand. You can't think he hasn't done anything. And the strange thing was also at school, attitudes changed with children at school. Children started to call us names and call us wops and all that sort of thing. And I said to my mother, why are the children behaving like this? Why do they call us names? We hadn't done anything. And my mother said, well, this is a trouble when things happen because of war, you have this people which are normally kind and happy to one another, because the situation changes, people hate a person and they don't really know why they hate them. Because for children to be cruel to another child is not really natural, but in actual fact it probably is, because it happens today, doesn't it? With different ethnic, you know, minorities and that. You know, it's happens all the time. It's ignorance.
Mm. Mm. Do you remember the name of the school and where it was?
Oh, I went to St. Patrick's School. St. Patrick's School in Oxford Street, off Oxford Street, yes. And my sisters went to that school until they were older, and then they went on to, my older sister went to Marylebone School, and
which is still there.
Still in London, yes. Yeah. Marylebone School still,
yes,
there, is
still
it?
There,
oh, yeah.
Yes, at the end,
yes,
of Marylebone High School.
Ah, yes. That's right, yeah, that's it. So, yes, we were quite happy. Oh, I was evacuated during the war.
Wow.
Evacuated to Preston in Lancashire. And
with all your families?
No, on my own. I went, and well, the school, children were evacuated, and my sisters were already older. I was still at school. So my next door, my aunt lived, and my two cousins, Edda and Nina Sartor, and my aunt, Giovanna Sartor, she was evacuated with Edda, and Nina was just born, and we went to Preston in Lancashire, but they lived on their own in a little flat. But I had to live with a family who were very, very nice, I must admit. Beautiful.
And remember the name of the family?
Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Dixon, yes. And they had a little girl. And I went to school up in Lancashire. But after about 6 months, they started to bomb up in Lancashire. So I wrote home to my mother and I said, I don't see any point in staying up here, when they're bombing here, and I was supposed to escape the bombing in London. So my mother let me come home. I came home, spent the rest of the war in London, but my aunt and my cousin stayed up in Lancashire. Yes.
Do you remember, what did you do when the bombs came down? Did you go, where did you shelter?
In London. In Lancashire. Yeah. Oh, no, we weren't really, it was the Merseyside that was bombed. But because we were in that area, Preston is in the area, fortunately where we lived, you could hear the bombs and that, but we weren't bombed. But in London, when we were bombed, we used to have a coal cellar and outside in Whitfield Street, and we used to go in there until it got really bad, and then we went to the underground. So we used to go to the underground every night. No, fun enough, we used to go to the Strand. We used to get the train to the Strand, and all our friends and neighbours, we all used to meet there. My cousin Edda and I used to go in the morning, and we used to put all the blankets down along the platform for all the families we knew that were going to come in the evening. So everybody did the usual daily things. My sisters were working, so they went to work. My mother didn't go to work, but everybody else that worked. And in the evening, they all came down and we slept in the underground at night. We did that through on the hard, you know, on the platform. Well, we used to put blankets and pillows. Actually, we were children. It wasn't really hardship for us. We thought it was fun, you know, especially when we were small. We'd sit and wait, and people would be travelling to work, and they used to feel sorry. They used to see these children. I'm laughing because it must have been funny. And people, you know, you probably don't know, but years ago on the underground, they had slot machines that they sold chocolates. You do remember. And people sometimes would buy chocolate from the machine and give it to us. So we used to think, oh, this is great. We're sitting here and we're guarding our position, but we used to get fed this chocolate. And then our parents used to come down, our mums used to come, and they used to bring us food, our dinner. So we used to stay down there, sleep all night. Next day, we got up and went home, and then during the day, the next day, us children, we used to have to go back. And that's what we did for quite a while.
So only the children slept on the pavement in the underground. Your mother stayed at home.
Oh, no, no, everybody. We stayed there to keep the place, because you had to sort of like reserve your position. You know, we used to put blankets and things along so that we knew nobody could take that place. So we used to have to keep a place for the rest of the families that were coming, which were my cousins and the families that lived near. Yes, but the other people stayed at home, so if there was an air raid during the day, they were there during the day, because I didn't go to school, obviously. I missed 2 years of schooling through the war. And then when we didn't have so many air raids, we didn't sleep anymore in the underground. You know, we stayed at home.
For how long, more or less, did you sleep in the underground?
Well, I would say it was about 18 months. It was quite a long time. And then, of course, our house, where we lived in Whitfield Street, was bombed. But it wasn't knocked down completely, but it wasn't safe to live. So we had to move, and we moved to Holloway Road. And in Holloway Road, we lived in a flat, in a building, 5 stories high. And actually, we even slept in the underground at Holloway Road for a while. So between the two, the West End and Holloway, it was quite a while. Yes.
And was your mother working? I mean, who supported the family when your father was in Australia?
She'd never been to work, my mother. I think social services probably got something. But no, actually, my older sister was working. She was a dressmaker, and my the second eldest helped her, and my sister Gina worked. So I suppose we lived on the money that they brought in. I really don't know. I know we didn't get any support from anyone. We didn't get any allowances from anybody. So it must have been the money that they earned.
Do you remember about the food rationing during the war?
Oh, yes.
Some
coupons.
Coupons.
Yes, yes, the coupons. And my mother had an identity card. I've still got that. Identity card saying that she was an alien. And every year or every so often, she used to have to report to the police that she was still in England, and we had clothes rationing, clothing coupons, food coupons. We used to get the meat, I remember. We used to have between us about a pound in weight, which would be 500 grams. We used to have about a pound of meat a week. We used to get so much butter. And one egg each, but we managed, we survived, yes.
All those years. And then, so your father came back, you finished school. Do you remember, before you said it was fun sleeping in the and during the day, do you go around because...
Well, we went home in the morning, but we went back to the underground in the afternoon, late afternoon.
And how did you spend the day? Playing around in the street?
Playing, helping mum, you know, indoors, you know, because we're very much family orientated. We never played in bomb sites or things like that, no, played indoors. Our sisters, we used to play, as I said, my older sisters were at work, so I was the youngest in the family, and I went to work when I was 14, so, yeah.
And you were in London, not far from the Italian church. Did you used to go to the Italian church?
When we got older, we used to go to the Italian church, but when we were young, we went to local church, Catholic church.
St. Patrick's. St. Patrick's Church?
No, we used to go to St. Patrick's, but there was a church nearer to us called St. John's, which was a Catholic church.
Where was it?
That was off Cleveland Street, the St. John's Church, and we could walk to that. Well, we could walk to St. Patrick's, but the St. John's was really our parish church, so we used to go to that. And then, of course, when we moved to Holloway Road, then we used to go to the Italian church on a Sunday, or we went to the church near us, which was the Sacred Heart Church off Holloway Road.
Did you go to the Italian church for La Madonna del Carmine?
Yes, yes, that was in July.
You did then?
Yes, that was usually the third Sunday in July. And when my father was alive, and we were all younger, that was quite an event, you know, to go to the Italian church, because they used to have the Madonna, and then they had the Italian clubs by the Italian church. There was a Garibaldi, Mazzina Garibaldi church, club. My father and all his friends used to meet, and they'd have a drink.
Roma Club,
that's right. And then they used to do the procession, and after the procession, they used to have stalls, and they used to have lovely cookies and cakes and things like that, and wine. And, you know, as the years went on, you know, they had more and more things. But that was quite an event now. I don't think it's as big as it was anymore.
Still does it.
And...
Now the shop is closed, the Rhone is closed.
Oh, is it?
And the delicatessen shop is closed.
Oh, it's a shame. And yes, that's that. And my father, when he came home, he just went back to work for Dice Beckers, and he worked for them until his death. Yes, he's 65, yes. In fact, there are still places in London with the mosaic of Dice Beckers that my father worked on. Oh, I tell you, that's something I almost forgot. The Italian church. No, the Westminster Cathedral. At Westminster Cathedral, there is an altar on the left-hand side as you walk in, right at the very bottom. And there was a time, it's all mosaic, everything is mosaic. And there was a time when it needed repair. So Diesbeck has got an artist from Italy came up to do, they must have a special name that to do
this.
Yes, I know mosaic, but
he was a master.
He was a master, that's it. And he came up and they wanted somebody to help him, so they chose my father. He was foreman, and he went down to Westminster, and I went and I watched them working. I went from school to the Westminster Cathedral and watched where they repaired the mosaic. You know, it was wonderful, really. In fact, we went there a couple of years ago. I took my husband, who's English, and I said, you must come and see where my father worked on the Westminster Cathedral. And it was very strange because the whole area was cordoned off. They were doing work. They were going to...
We stop there.